Okay, we're going to begin a mimer in preparation for Tishrei, Yom Tov that is coming up only in a few weeks, please God. And we're going to look at them from the Alter Rebbe, from the Likutei Torah. And this mimer is a Sukkos mimer, but like all mimerim, they apply to much broader than just the day that they speak about. It's the whole lead up to Sukkos, Sukkos being the crescendo, the high point of the month of Tishrei. So if we prepare for Sukkos, then we're prepared for the whole Tishrei. And the beauty of the Alter Rebbe and the way he teaches is that he holds our hand. Even though he was on such a high madrega, the Alter Rebbe himself, this huge tzaddik, a new neshama coming down into the world from an extremely high place, but he understood us. He understands real people. And his way of teaching makes the spiritual path very real. So this mimer, I believe, will help us in our getting into the mode for Tishrei of rejuvenating, renewing our spiritual connection. So let's let the Alter Rebbe speak for himself. This mimer is called the Shavta Mimer Sosan. It's in the Likutei Torah, page Ayin Ches Amad Gimel, page 156, the first mimer on Sukkos. It said about this mimer, the Tzemach Tzedek said about this mimer, that this mimer starts with a pasuk that refers to the drawing of water, which was done on Sukkos. And it says about that, that when they drew the water on Sukkos to pour onto the altar, as the daily offering on Sukkos, so they would dance the entire night, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the joy of the drawing of the water, as it was called. And the dancing, at the dancing they said that Misham Shoevim Ruach HaKodesh, you would not just draw water, but you would draw Ruach HaKodesh. From just being involved in the dancing in the Beis HaMikdash, people got Ruach HaKodesh. It says that Yonah HaNavi, the prophet Jonah, became a prophet at Simchas Beis HaShoeva. That's where he got his vision, his first vision. And so, the Tzemach Tzedek said that when the Alter Rebbe said this mimer, which starts with the verse about drawing the water on Sukkos, we drew Ruach HaKodesh from it. Like it, I don't know if it was just speaking for himself, or he said it in the plural, that the people there were like transported to another place. So we can at least learn the mimer and see where it takes us. So the pasuk begins, Ushavta mimer sasim mina Yeshua, that you should draw water with joy from the wellsprings of salvation. And this pasuk, drawing water with joy from the wellsprings of salvation, is understood to refer to the drawing of water that was done on Sukkos, that every night they would draw water from the well, dance it up to the Beis HaMikdash, and in the morning pour it on the altar as a special water libation, a water pouring that was done on the festival of Sukkos. So this pasuk, the Alter Rebbe is going to analyze and explain in the course of the mimer. Ksiv. So the Torah says, "B'yom hashmini atzeres tielachem." On the eighth day, it should be a day of rest for you. Atzeres meaning holding back. This is referring to shmini atzeres. We call it shmini atzeres. The word shmini atzeres is referring to the eighth day of Sukkos, which is a yontov of itself. This is the first 7 days of Sukkos, and then the eighth day of Sukkos. "B'yom hashmini atzeres tielachem." The expression that the Torah uses is atzeres, which is sometimes translated as stopping from work, holding back. Taking in. So the Alter Rebbe here is going to explain it a bit differently. Pirush ki b'chol hashana hayu makrivim al gabei mezbeach parim ve'elim u'kvasim u'sirim. What this means is, what is Shmini Atzeres and what's special about it? The entire year, on the altar in the Beis HaMikdash in the temple, they would bring sacrifices of cows, rams, sheep, goats. The Eishal Maila Hayu Yerid Ala Mizbeach Kedmus Arya Rovitz V'Toich Loisam. And when they would bring these animals on the altar, a figure of a lion, a fire in the shape of a lion, would descend from heaven, crouch on the Mizbeach, and eat up the sacrifices. It was a very visual, powerful thing that you would bring a sacrifice on the altar, and a fire in the shape of a lion would come down from heaven and consume it. that was quite a sight. So that was all year round. This is the standard daily sacrifices were animals, oxen, rams, sheep, goats, brought on the altar, consumed by a fiery lion that would come crouching and eat up the sacrifices. That's all year round. Ach, u'chag ha'sukkos, hayu menaskim mayim al gabi ha'mizbeach. But on Sukkos, something else came onto the altar, and that was water. They poured water on the Mizbeach. B'nusach ha'mayim kol shiva, and that would be all 7 days of Sukkos. But this wasn't done the rest of the year. The rest of the year, animals were brought. On Sukkos, apart from the animal sacrifices, there was water poured on the altar. So that's on Sukkos. Ach b'yom ha'shmini atzeres tiyalachem. But on the eighth day, you should have an atzeres, an absorbing l'chol ha'bechinas halalu of all of this stuff that you've done for the rest of the year. All year you're doing animals on the Mizbeach. On Sukkos, you're also doing water on the Mizbeach. After a year of animal sacrifice, a week of water libations, then there's an eighth day, which is Atzeres, the time to absorb, to take in, to internalize all of this that you've done. Ubir inyan zeh. This is what needs to be explained. What does this mean? What is the animal sacrifice? What is the fire that is consuming the animals? What is the water libation that is made such a big deal out of, that there's all this singing and dancing and celebration of this water libation? And then after the water libation, then you need the day, this Shmini Atzeres, to absorb, to take in, to internalize all of that. It's like another level. It's like we're climbing the animals to the water to then the absorption of it all, taking it all in. What does all that mean? In the course of the Maimer, that will be explained. Like always, the Maimer is going to go very far from that and then eventually come back to it, and we'll see. So, Obir Inyan Zeh. Kina Achshav She'en Lanu Beis HaMikdash. Today, right now, we do not have a Beis HaMikdash. V'lo Mizbech, we don't have an altar. So how are we supposed to relate to this animal sacrifice? To us, it seems very foreign and distant. Something we don't even feel like a connection to such a thing. And yet, it's a part of Torah, and everything in Torah is infinite. Infinite means that it's always relevant and it always can be applied. How are we supposed to relate to all this when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have an altar? So what do we do? Says Alter Rebbe, Tzarech kol echad limtzoy divrei chefetz benafshei. Every person has to find the equivalent of that in their own self. Internally. This is one of the principles that the Baal Shem Tov laid down, that everything in Torah is always relevant. Just some of it is relevant in a literal sense, and there are some parts are only relevant at a particular time in a metaphorical, symbolic sense. So the karbonos, the sacrifices right now, in the literal sense, not only we don't do them, we don't even relate to such a thing. We can't even imagine bringing an ox and burning it on the altar and that being our spiritual practice. That's just not how we do things. But that doesn't mean that, okay, well, the Torah was, for those times, it was relevant, and now it's not relevant. It's relevant now, even if we can't do that literally, and even if we don't relate to the literal sense of it, we can extract the spiritual version of it, and we have to find within ourselves the ox that we're burning on the altar with a lion, in fire in the shape of a lion eating it up. We have to come up with that. We have to find it in ourselves, which he's going to help us do. The Alter Rebbe is going to take us through how to do this. But every part of Torah that is not literally relevant, we have to find the symbolism of it and relate it to ourselves. Ulahavin eich kol ha'bechinas elyonis shel ma'ilahim lamatam avodis Hashem shebelev kol echa ve'echad v'chol dor. Chayv Adam Lirois Benafshay Inyan Bechines Eish Haserv Machalas Akarbanas Parim Be'elim Kvasim. So to understand all this, to understand how all of these things, these spiritual actions of the sacrifices, how can they be translated down here in our Avodas Hashem today, in a way that we can relate to? in the heart of every person. How is it is going on? The sacrificial service is going on inside of us. How do we see that? Everyone has to do this. We have to find this. That in every generation, a person is obligated. He paraphrases the quote from the Mishnah that we say at the Haggadah. B'chol dor v'dor chai v'adam liras ha'atzmai. Every generation, a person should see themselves as if they left Egypt. He paraphrases that. In every generation, a person has to see in their souls the idea of a fire burning up karbonis. And what are the karbonis? A cow and a ram and a sheep. These animals. We have to find the fire in ourselves. We have to find the animals within ourselves. Obechinus nisach hamayim, shebachak, the top of the next column. We have to find the water libations. After a year of animal sacrifices, there's 7 days of water libations, pouring water on the altar. We have to find within ourselves what is that water that we pour. Obechinus yom hashmini, shebayatzeres, kol obechinus anal. And then we have to find within ourselves the eighth day, shmini atzeres, which is the day of absorbing, internalizing, taking in everything that came before it. The animal sacrifice all year, and the 7 days of the water libation, which is then internalized on Shemini Atzeres. How does this work within ourselves, internally? So this, the Alter Rebbe is setting up, this is what the crux of this Maamar is going to be, to try and apply this internally. So, let's get into it. V'hinei, Amru Razal, our sages say, Tfilis keneged tibidim tiknum. The sages say that our davening today was enacted corresponding to the daily sacrifices. That the sacrifices that happened in the Beis HaMikdash were a daily thing. Every morning and afternoon, there was the daily sacrifice. And then over the evening, the parts of it would burn on the altar. And so to today, we have a morning davening Shachris. We have an afternoon davening Mincha. We have an evening davening Ma'ariv. Our davening today takes the place of the sacrifices. Now this is a commonly known thing, that it's a Gemara, it says that the davening takes the place of the sacrifices. The simple understanding of it is, we don't have sacrificial service, but we have davening instead. The Alter Rebbe says, well, if it's keneged, if this is corresponding to that, it's taking the place of that, there must be a direct correlation between them. They must be connected. It's not like you can't replace one thing with another. Say, okay, we don't have a base of Mikdash, so instead we're going to daven. What's one to do with the other? It must be that the davening somehow is the spiritual version, the symbolic and metaphorical version of the physical, literal sacrifices. And so by examining the way the sacrifices work, we'll understand what davening actually really is, what we're supposed to be doing in davening. So how so? The inyan, the idea of this correlation between davening and sacrifices. Because the Gemara says that davening is defined as working on the heart. Avoida, working on your heart. That the Torah says, you should serve Hashem with your heart. And the Gemara says, how do you serve Hashem with your heart? That's davening. The refining and the elevation of the heart, giving it over to Hashem. So, if davening is all about the heart, developing the heart, giving it over to Hashem, v'alev hu remez kenegen ha-mizbeach, the heart symbolizes the altar. The altar was where the sacrifices were burnt. Davening is our version of sacrifices, and so therefore, where does davening happen? In the heart, just like sacrifices happen on the altar. Our altar is our heart. Which we'll see why. Now, ukashem shall you base mizbechos pnimi v'chitzen. Just like in the base of Mikdash, there were two altars. There was an external altar in the courtyard, and there was an inner altar in the chamber inside. And they served two different purposes. The outer altar was for the sacrifices. That's where the animal sacrifices happened. The inner altar was for the keteris, for the incense, the burning of incense. So if there were two altars in the Beis HaMikdash, kach yesh bilev beis bechinas, so too in the heart, there must be two layers of the heart. Bechinas chitzonius alev, upnimis alev kenoida. And they are the external layers of the heart and the internal, inner layers of the heart. As is known, which means that it's in the writings of Kabbalah and other places, that our heart has two layers to it. There's the external layer of your heart, which is the revealed demonstrative feelings that you're having at this moment. The mood you're in, the state of being you are, the way you're feeling right now. That's an expressed thing that you can see on somebody's face that if they're in a good mood or they're not in such a good mood. You can see by the way they act and behave, and it's open and expressed. That's chitzonius alev. Then there's pnimius alev, which is a much deeper feeling. You can't necessarily see it or detect it. It's going on inside. It's your deeper convictions and passions that are sometimes beyond being expressed. The inner layer of the heart. And so, if there's a chitzonius and pnimius of the mizbeach, there's a mizbeach chitzon, the outer mizbeach, and the inner mizbeach, the mizbeach pnimius. So too in your heart, there's the chitzonius alev, what you're feeling on the surface, and then the pnimius alev, a deeper feeling, what's really going on inside of you. So,
what would be some examples?
Well, chitzonis alev means something that makes you react, the way you respond, the smile on your face. You could be laughing and smiling about something because something's making you happy, even at the time when the pnimius alev you're actually feeling very down. Or the other way around as well, that you could have an internal joy and happiness, but you're upset about something right now. That is happening right now. So on a very simple level, chitzonius means expressed to the outside, and pnimius means how you are inside. Well, we see that there were two mizbeches, there were two mizbeachs, like, and each has its function. So, when it comes to joy and happiness, so mitzvah gedol lios b'simcha, we're supposed to be joy. So there's joy that's external and expressed, and there's joy that's internal and deep. We would naturally think that the internal deep one is the real one, and the external one is, well, it's not so real. It's like just how you're looking. And that's true to an extent, but it's also you. That's also part of your heart. So working on being happy, well, start with the chitzonius. The chitzonius alev would probably be easier. That's more accessible to us. So start thinking about things that make you joyous and feeling joy, express joy, act happy, smile, and then hopefully then you can work on the pnimius as well. Like you can get there. The word chitzonius has a negative connotation, like superficial, or you're doing it for others, or some things you have to do for others, some things you have to do on the surface, like that's a part of you as well. It's not innately negative. What's negative is if you have chitzonius and no pnimius. Like if you ignore pnimius and you just concentrate on chitzonius, if you do things just for the sake of others, that's not an ideal state of being. But that doesn't mean your chitzonius has to be ignored. In, I think in Lukot HaDiburim it says that the biggest insult in Chabad was to call someone a chitzen. It means like a superficial person. You're doing it. But what that means is you're behaving the way somebody else expects. Like you're doing it for them, but you're not really doing it. That's true. Like you can't live your life just for your surroundings and not true to yourself and to who you're supposed to be. That's true. But that doesn't mean everything that's chitzonius is bad. Sometimes you, in your avoda, have to do something that's chitzonius, that's expressed outwards. That's fine. If you're happy on the inside, but you look miserable on the outside, that's not nice for other people. You're great. You're in a great mood, but everyone else sees a bitter face. They feel bad. What? So you're being a panimi now? That's being a really deep person, because you don't care about chitzonius. No. That's not working on yourself to be present for others. So we'll see here that in the Maamar that chitzonius is not something that we dismiss. Chitzonius, there's a mizbeach, a chitzon. That's a mizbeach, that's a vayda. In fact, the main avoda seems to be the mizbeach chitzon. All the karbonos were on the external of the mizbeach. So if tefillas correspond to the tamidim, to the daily sacrifices, well, those daily sacrifices were done on the mizbeach chitzon, the outer altar, which represents the outer level of the heart. So that's where our avoda shebelev has to start, at least. So he goes into it. We're skipping, there's a square bracket. So we're going down a few lines. So we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines from the top of the page on the left column. Where at the beginning of the line, the square bracket ends. Okashem shahayu makrivim al mizbeach chitzon. Kol hakarbonos. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash times, they brought on the external altar all the karbonos. Parim ve'elim kvasim, the oxen and the rams and the sheep, chula, etc., goats. Kach tzarech kol echad b'tfilasei la'oir es ha'ava ha'tivis b'liboy, shubachinis chitzonius shebalev b'lvad. So to each one of us, in our davening, we need to arouse the natural ingrained love that our heart has for Hashem, which is chitzonius halev b'lvad. That's only the chitzonius halev. It's the external layers of the heart. Meaning, something that the Book of Tanya expands upon at great length, is that each one of us in our neshama, we naturally have a love for Hashem. Just like a child naturally loves their parents, there's a natural bond and connection. We naturally love Hashem because He's our source. That's where we come from. That love is innate. It's not a love that you need to develop. All you need to do is reveal it. And so with even a brief thought about the fact that Hashem is our life, Hashem gives us everything, Hashem is the source of our neshama and gives us everything in our lives, just a brief thought of that should arouse a level of love, of appreciation, of connection to Hashem. That doesn't take huge amount of work. And this is Tanya's argument to us, is that it's not so hard to love Hashem. You naturally love Hashem. You just have to think about the things that you have in your life and you'll see and you'll develop that love. But that's called chitzonius, the external layers of the heart, because it's not something you made up on your own. It's not something you developed and worked on yourself. It's not a love that you created. It's a love that you were given from above. So it's more chitzonius. It's not as primitive as something that you developed on your own. But this is where to start. This is where to start in loving Hashem. The natural love that is innate. Shetislahit kerishbe esh bizgalus alev, that you should light it up with passion in the revealed levels of your heart. It's open and revealed. You feel it. This is a love that you actually feel. This is really important to understand that davening is avodah shebelev, and so in davening we're supposed to actually feel something. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's not a reading exercise. It's an emotional exercise. We're supposed to feel something. How do you feel something? Well, you have feelings for Hashem in your heart, naturally, because He's your source, and you have a natural love for Him. You just have to reveal it. The problem is that your feelings are preoccupied with other stuff. You have other things that your heart is involved in, things that you're interested in and excited about and worried about and preoccupied with, other things in the world that are not godly and not divine. And so your heart is busy. You have to redirect your heart back to Hashem and to realize that Hashem is the source of everything, and Hashem is all, and there's nothing else really to be excited and passionate about, only Hashem and bringing goodness into the world and fulfilling your mission in this world and doing what Hashem created you for. That's really where your passion should be. And all other pursuits and occupations and excitement, they're all peripheral, they're all secondary, they're not the real thing. So when you contemplate that, when you think about that, naturally your love for Hashem comes because you've got it. You've got love for Hashem. It's in your soul. You're a part of Him. And so that's called chitzonius alev. First of all, because it's not a love that you created. It's one that Hashem gave you. And so, you know, always something you created is more deep within you than something that was given to you. But also in the maila of chitzonius alev, it's expressed. That's a love that you actually feel. It's not hidden in your heart. It's revealed. You actually feel it. So, this love is on your heart, which is the altar. And what comes down onto the altar? We said a fire coming down from heaven in the shape of a lion. That is this external level of love. As he explains, "V'hu b'chinas eish al ma'ila." This is the fire from above. It's a fire from heaven because it's a love that you didn't create. It's a love that Hashem gave you. It's a gift that Hashem gave you. Hashem gave within our soul a love for Him. We're born with it. It's our natural state. It's a part of our neshama. It's not something we created. It's something Hashem gave us. It's a fire from above. Sheyori b'dmus arya, and it comes down in the shape of a lion. This love that is a gift from above comes down in the shape of a lion specifically. Lisrofa karbonis, to burn up the karbonis. Right, so that's the imagery. The imagery is in the Beis HaMikdash, you have the altar, and a fire came down on the altar to eat up the animal that was placed on the altar. And that fire was in the shape of a lion that would crouch on the altar. So too, we have our altar, which is our heart. Here we're talking about the external revealed layers of our heart, that we feel it in a demonstrable, revealed way. And we need to take our animal, which he'll explain is our animalistic passions that distract us from our deeper self, and allow that to be consumed by the God-given fire, the divine love that comes from above that we didn't create, but Hashem gave it to us. And it eats, it consumes the animal on the altar. Why particularly a lion? Why is that fire in the face, in the shape of a lion? So we're going to skip another bracket that's about eight or so lines. The line starts, it's halfway down the page, Me'inyan Aryeh. That's the first words on the line, Me'inyan Aryeh. In the middle of that line is the close of the bracket. Yeah? It's about halfway down, Me'inyan Aryeh. Yep, and then the end of the close bracket. V'al derech mashikosav achre Hashem yeilchu ka'arya yishag. This is like what there's a pasuk in Hosea, the prophet Hosea, that says that after Hashem they will go, He will roar like a lion. Right, describing the Jewish people that we go after Hashem, we chase after Hashem with love. We have a love for Hashem because He roars like a lion. What does this mean? This is the love that lights up, burns in our heart, when we remember Hashem. We don't want to be separate from Hashem. As soon as we contemplate the fact that Hashem is the source of our existence, He is our all, we don't want to be separate from Him. We want to be connected to Him. So when you remember that, you feel His love. It becomes revealed in your heart. You yearn for Him. So, roaring like a lion, yeah, it's Hashem is roaring, but in our heart. The roar is like a sound of energy, of power. Before we spoke about there's the Pnimius 11, the Chitzonius 11, the inner levels of the heart and the external levels of the heart. The main difference between them is the external levels are noisy, the inner levels are silent. What's deep in your heart is not expressed. What's on the surface of your heart is expressed, is loud, is noise. What you're really, really feeling deep inside, there's no real words for that. There's no noise that creates. What you're feeling on the surface creates friction and noise. So the Arya Yishak, the roar of the lion, is the external part of the heart with feeling, with passion, with energy. But it's Hashem roaring. It's Hashem's love that He has implanted in us that roars. When does that happen? When you have a simple contemplation of the fact that Hashem is our source of everything and you don't want to be separate from your source. You feel a passion and a yearning for Him. Uchsiv ki Hashem elekecha eish oichlehu. The love is described as a fire, specifically a fire in the shape of a lion. Why is Hashem described as a fire? So he paraphrases here something we say in davening, Yom Kippur, Eish Eich LeEish, that it's a fire that consumes other fires. Hashem is a fire, an all-consuming fire that consumes other fires. Fire is passion. Hashem's fire is a passion for Hashem, for holiness. Other fires are passion for other things. Hashem's fire consumes other fires. It eats up any other passion, any distraction. Meaning, shesorif machal es kol ishim asher lo Hashem heima. When you feel the fire of passion for Hashem, that eats up all the foreign passions for things that are not for Hashem. Hanikrab shem eish zara, which are called strange fires. The loy liyos ha'esh ki'im la'Hashem levade, that your fire should only be for Hashem and nothing else. So, the reason why the passion, the love for Hashem is described as a fire is because fire is an all-consuming thing. It consumes whatever comes in its way. And this is a fire that consumes other fires. Any other passion gets lost when the truth is revealed, when the real level of the soul is revealed. B'lachein Omer Azal, that's why our sages say, says in the Gemara, she'asa lechel kodem tefillah, you're not allowed to eat before davening. Here it means to eat a suddah, to eat a proper full meal. And before davening means before you've said brachas, before you said shema, you can't eat. Why? Why can't you eat before davening? Because if you want to eat some physical thing like a piece of bread, you have to be superior to that thing you're eating. You have to be on a higher level to that which you eat. If you are a superior being to the bread, then you have a right to eat it. Because you are bringing it up to you. You're elevating it. But v'kivin shu kodim ha'tfila, but when you haven't davened yet, shadayin loy bir v'saref es ha'moisres shaloi be'ei shal maila, if you haven't yet burnt up your indulgence, your passions, your foreign passions in the fire of Hashem, if you haven't done that yet, because you haven't davened yet, V'hari hu mekusha b'dagas ha'parnasa. So then you're still connected to the lowly worries of parnasa. Hari hu mekusha l'mata v'noifu b'madrega sh'arin yonim gashmim. So you're connected down to the physical material world. You're lower than the piece of bread that you're eating. You can't elevate it, so you can't eat. You're no different to the bread that you're eating. So what right do you have to eat it and to overpower it? He's saying a very profound thing. The whole idea that we eat, that we are created in such a way that we need to consume other living beings in order to give us nourishment. Why did Hashem create us that way? Why is that the system? Hashem could have made us in a way that we didn't need to eat, and life would be very different. Why do we need to eat, and we spend a huge amount of our time and effort and attention on eating? It's probably the biggest part of our life, if you think about the time it takes to eat and to prepare the food and to make money to buy food and to go shopping. We're very, very preoccupied with eating. Why does Hashem make us that way? So in Kabbalah it says, because our mission is to take the physical world and to elevate it. The physical world that doesn't have innate power of holiness, its holiness has to be revealed, and we can reveal that through the human being consuming lower beings. We lift the physical world to a higher place. But that's only true if we are in a higher place. If we as a human are in a higher place than the food. Whereas if we are just another physical being, another part of the materialistic world, so then we're equal to the food, or maybe even lower than it, because the food is doing what it's supposed to do. We're not. So before you daven, you can't eat. Why? Because before you daven, you're still connected to Gashmias. You're still stuck in your material mindset. Davening is where we lift ourselves above that. Above it. And he specifically says Daigas Aparnasa. It's interesting that here and in the rest of this paragraph, the Alter Rebbe particularly hones in on one distraction or one passion that takes us away from holiness, and that is worrying about Parnasa. So the assumption is that when you wake up in the morning, you're still in the world of Gashmias. Your soul has come into your body in the morning, and it's the body's needs and the body's desires that is your primary conscious awareness. And so, as long as you're in that state, you're not higher than a piece of bread. You're the same as a piece of bread, another piece of Gashmias. It's only when you've davened, which davening, he says, is transcending the worries of Parnassa. That's what davening is about. When you've gone higher than the worries of Parnassa, that's when you're now on an elevated level. You've removed the Gashmistika connection. You're now on a higher plane. Now you can eat, because now you're lifting the food to a higher place, because you're in a higher place. Until then, you won't. Until davening, you won't. So you first have to lift yourself to a higher place, and then you can lift the world to a higher place. That's why the day has to start with davening, because davening is where you arouse the fire, the passion of Hashem in your heart. And once that's aroused, then you've burnt off the distractions, then you can lift the world. Then you can start going around and elevating the world around you, which is the rest of the day. That's what we do. We work in the Gashmistika world, trying to refine it, to elevate it. He goes into this a little bit more, this idea of Daigas HaParnasa. The end of the paragraph, the last five, six lines. The Zeo Avodas Adam B'Tfila. This is the definition of davening. And this is a very powerful line now. Now the Alter Rebbe is defining for us. The whole crux of davening is Lisroif Daigas HaParnasa, to burn the worries about Parnasa, about making a living. To burn your materialistic worries. That is davening. Which I think is fascinating. It's an amazing thought that we're worried about Parnasa. How are we going to make a living? How are we going to pay the bills? How's it going to work? That worry is what you need to conquer in davening. So you need to come to a place in davening of calm where you know that I'm in Hashem's hands and I'm not worried about it. So your heart is preoccupied, is worried about Parnasa. So you have to take that animal, which is that worry, and you have to place it on the Mizbeach, on your heart, and you have to bring down the fire in the shape of a lion that will consume that animal. Eat it up. Burn it away. So you're not worried about Parnasa. And if you're still worried, so then you need more fire on the altar. By contemplating that, what am I worried about? I'm in Hashem's hands. And why should that be my worry? My job is to serve Hashem. Hashem has to give him the parnasa. That's his job. So what am I worried about and concerned about? Why am I preoccupied about that? Why is it bringing me down? Why am I heavy about it? That's the... this boneness, the contemplation that you have to be having in davening. And to reach a place where you're calm.
What if your worries are less about Parnassah and, I don't know, children's education? Is that the same thing or is that slightly different?
I mean, slightly different. Parnassah could be very broad. You could broaden Parnassah, not just meaning making a living, but it means all the things of this world, the challenges of this world. Here he's honing in, he's using the word Daigas HaParnasa, and he's honing in on that example, because that's a very basic, common one. But it means anything. I mean, also, like, now's not the time. There are some very righteous concerns that we may have, and very, very appropriate things that you're worried about, you know, or concerned about, but now's not necessarily the time for that. And the worrying about it is not helpful. Being concerned, being alert to it, thinking about it, coming up with strategies, doing something about it, that's all important. And there's a time for that. And that may not be right now in davening or during davening. But like it says in Tanya, sometimes the Machshav Zaris, it's a very holy thing, but now's not the time for it. Why is it coming now? It's just distracting you. So if you're worried about the chinuch of your children, that's an important thing. The worrying is not so helpful, but being concerned, being attentive to it, yes. And maybe not right now in davening. So he says that the definition of davening, the avodas tefillah, is burning the worries of parnasa. Like they would burn on the altar they would take flour. The menachas, the mincha offerings that were brought were made of flour, which is bread. Bread symbolizes parnasa, putting bread on the table. Burning up the bread on the altar means that in your altar, in your heart, there shouldn't be concern about Parnassah. And it's burnt up by the fire that comes down from above, the divine fire of love of Hashem. Now, he just qualifies his statement here. When we're saying that you should burn up the worry about Parnassah, the emphasis is on the worry of Parnassah, but not Parnassah itself. It's not that making a Parnassah is a problem. It's not that you have to spend time making a Parnassah and put effort into making a Parnassah. That's not the problem. That's not what you have to burn. That's necessary. You have to make a Parnassah. And to make a Parnassah, you have to put time and effort in. That you have to do. The Pasuk praises a person and says that when you eat from the work of your hands, happy are you and it's good for you. Meaning, you do need to work. Work is good. It's good to eat from the work of your hands. So we're not saying here that davening is to forget about Parnassa. It's to not worry about Parnassa. That's the emphasis. It's the worry. The effort and the time and the toil that you need to put into Parnassa is appropriate. Not only appropriate, it's praiseworthy. That when you eat from the work of your hands, it's good. It's praiseworthy. It's good. That's how a person's supposed to be. But the emphasis is yigia kapecha, that the effort of your hands, not the effort of your heart. That's not where your heart should be. Parnasa, to make a living, you have to do it. And you have to work, and you have to work hard. But that's not where your passion should be, and that's not where your worry and concern should be. You make the effort, and Hashem does the rest. It's the worry that a person is pained by it, concerned and preoccupied about the Parnasa. That's the problem. That comes, the worry of Parnasa comes from the element of fire and heat in the Nefesh Bahamis, in the animal soul. That's a foreign fire. That's a strange fire that we need to burn up. And you have to burn that up in the heavenly fire of davening. Why is daigas a parnasa, worrying about parnasa? Why does that come from the soda eish, the element of fire? We know there are four elements: eish, mayim, ruach, afar. Fire, water, wind, and earth. And he says the fire, that the worry of parnasa comes from fire. Why? Why from fire?
Because worry like consumes you. It like eats you up. You even say those words. Mm-hmm. Like, it's eating me up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It eats up your tissues.
It's a consuming feeling.
Yeah. And then it just goes.
Spreads like a wildfire.
Right.
It burns inside of you. You're burning with worry. I don't know if we say burning with worry, but it's a fire that once it's lit, it just spreads and spreads and consumes, eats you up.
It can go out of control.
Yeah. So that's what you have to catch. So imagine doing this every day. It's a very powerful thing to try and daven with. That like, I'm about to daven. I'm worried about stuff. How are things going to work? I have to consume that. I have to eat that up with a fire of love for Hashem. That Hashem is the true all, is the source of everything. So to be preoccupied with my worries, that's totally contradictory to the reality that Hashem is there. And when you feel that connection, feel that fire, which is your natural love, you have it inside of you. You just need to get rid of the external. So then you come to a certain peace. You still have to work hard. The work doesn't go away, but the worry, what's the worry for? So this is the mizbeach apnimi, achitzon, the outer mizbeach of the heart that burns up the sacrifices, the animalistic worries and concerns and material concerns. And that all comes from the fire that comes from above, the Eish Melamayla, the gift that Hashem gives us of love that is naturally in our heart. But we also have to bring a fire of our own fire. There's a fire that comes from above, a fire that comes from below. And that, please God, we'll see next time in the continuation of the Maamar.
Thank you. Easy, right? Easy, right?